My name is Ben. I serve in a campus ministry, and there's not much time, so I'm just going to go straight into the sermon today. But I thought before that I should introduce a bit more about myself. I like to call myself as someone in my mid-20s, okay? Because technically I'm 29 and a quarter years old, and that to me still counts as mid-20s because I define mid-20s as anything from 21 to 29, lah, huh? So I guess that still counted. But the campus people, especially myself, have heard this many times before, so they're probably sick of me saying this. Sometimes some jokes do grow old. But I wonder if for some of us here, we feel that the messages in church that we hear every so often also grows old after a while. After all, sometimes we feel like we're hearing familiar things over and over again. I wonder if many of you feel the same way about the topic I'm going to speak on today, which is intimacy with God. And if so, I want to encourage you with this. Sometimes the most important things need to be said, not because we are unaware, but because we are inactive. Let me repeat that. Sometimes the most important things need to be said, not because we are unaware, but because we are inactive. My prayer is that we all will be active, not only in hearing, but also in acting on truth today. I titled my sermon, The Price and Gift of Intimacy. So let's start. I'm going to start off with a simple story to really help us paint a picture for us as we begin. It all started one fine day as a guy and a girl were strolling through a beautiful garden. Disclaimer, the guy is not me here, okay? So the flowers were blooming, the grass was rustling. You could feel the wind sweep against your cheeks. You could see deer feeding by streams of water. If you squinted far off in the horizon, you could actually see birds flying off in formation. It was paradise, and it was good. The guy and the girl had everything they had ever wanted. They were loved. They could speak, and the plants and animals would hear their call. They could speak to the creator of the universe and hear his voice. It was paradise, and there was only one simple thing that the guy and the girl could not do. They just couldn't eat a certain fruit, the fruit of a certain tree in the garden. They could feast on everything else they ever wanted. At first they listened. No problem, right? Eat anything, just not that one fruit. But over time they began to notice it more and more. What was at first simply ignoring of the tree became a curiosity. Why would God not allow us to eat this? What's so special about it? What was a curiosity became a fascination. What if I ate it? What would happen to me? And one fine day, as the guy and the girl were taking their daily date, and slowly walking around the river, they could not help themselves. This precious, precious fruit had to be tried. And they sunk their teeth into it. The consequence? They were banished from the beautiful garden. What was a fascination had become sin. Many of us know the story of Adam and Eve very well. And we read about the consequences of this in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. The verses are on the screen, and I want us all as a church to read this together. Okay? So can we do that? Okay, so I'm going to count to three, and let's read the word of God together. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Indeed, was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted when there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was the type of the one who was to come. Verse 12 clearly says that sin and death came into the world because of Adam's sin. But Adam is not solely to be blamed. Why? Because if you read verse 12 again, next slide. It says that death spread to all because all have sinned. Yes, all. No one left out. That includes you and me. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the consequence, verse 14 says, death reigns. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 calls us children of wrath. We are under God's wrath because we have sinned against a holy God. And the key part is this. Sin against a holy God separates us from Him. Book of Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says this. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. And church, that is intimacy lost. Not only in the Garden of Eden, but right now. Intimacy is lost when we are separated from our Creator. Well, then it's intimacy, and I thought I should define it to you guys because I'm going to talk about it for the next 20 minutes. I define intimacy as simply being with God. But I have even worse news for all of you. How many of you love pineapple tarts? Raise your hands. Okay, the bad news isn't the pineapple tarts, don't worry. Okay, I love pineapple tarts. Okay, I can eat them non-stop, and I ate a lot of them last Chinese New Year. The problem is, I try to cut back because they're really, really unhealthy, and they're a bit fattening. But the problem is this. I always said that the next tart was the last tart. Unfortunately, I had many last tarts. Whether it was at my house, whether I went to my aunt's house, my grandma's house, every tart became the last tart. The problem here is this. If sin is like that pineapple tart, often enough, we eat it, even when God says not to. Why? The simple reason is because sin is a disease. Sin is an affliction. Sin is in our DNA. You don't believe us? If I could see into your mind right now, in the past 24 hours, every single thought that you had thought in your mind, every single thought for the past 24 hours, if I could see that, and if I could put that on that screen for every single person to see, would you want that? I wouldn't want it. If that happened, I would dig a hole for myself, jump in, and cover that hole. And the thing here is this. Sin is enjoyable. Sin is attractive. That pineapple tart sure tasted shiok when I put it in my mouth. Church, forbidden fruit is always the sweetest. We are so dead to sin that we can't even choose God on our own. So yes, we are in really bad shape. Intimacy is lost and we can do nothing about it on our own. And I like to call this point, the loss of intimacy, the great rebellion. So what's next for us? We'll read from Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. But before that, let me share you the context. And the context is this. Thousands of years after the garden scene, a mid-30s Middle Eastern Jew is hanging on an old roof. Hello? Testing? Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Hello? Hello? Yep. So a mid-30s Middle Eastern Jew is hanging on an old Roman instrument of torture and execution. Above his head is a sign that says his name and also says King of the Jews. He had a ministry of 3 years, gathering thousands of followers as he healed the sick, drove out demons, and did amazing miracles. Yet betrayed by one of his closest followers, a select group of 12 people, and hanging on that cross, we continue the story from verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, this Jew was innocent of any crime or wrong. Yet he bore the heaviest punishment of all. The entire sin of the world on his shoulders. Now, I don't know about you, but it feels really sucky to be punished for something you never really committed. I still remember when I was in primary 5, my class was going down. So I was in school, and my class was going down this staircase to a particular like event at the bottom. And in the middle, the teacher was in front. I was right behind the teacher. So the class was pretty noisy. And as you're walking down, suddenly the teacher stopped, turned behind and slapped me on the face. It's a true story, by the way. Slapped me on the face and scolded me for talking because I was very noisy. But here's the problem. I wasn't the one talking. My friend next to me was. Yep. So what was my first reaction? Shocked. Then shock turned into anger. Why did I suffer punishment for something I didn't do? It's not my fault, what? It's my friend who talked, not me. Why do I need to be slapped? I wonder if any of us here have similarly felt wronged or punished, even though you were totally innocent. And if so, you know the feeling. It's not a very nice feeling. And yet, what more, Jesus? He bore a holy God's wrath for our sins, even though he was without sin. And in verse 46, he says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? You see, we had lost intimacy from the Garden of Eden. We were separated from God. We were to bear his wrath. A familiar story. But what's important for us is this. When he took sin on himself for the first time, he felt separation from God for the very first time. And let me repeat that because it's important. When he took sin on himself for the first time, he felt separation from God for the first time. Now just imagine for me here for a moment. Jesus and Father God being one all the way back from the creation of this world. They are together. But at that moment when God poured out his wrath on his only son, it was like this wall surged forth, separating Jesus from Father God for the very first time. And that's painful. That's more painful than any physical pain you can feel. That's more painful than any emotional pain you can feel. That's how much separation from God meant to Jesus. The thing here is this. How many of us can relate to this? Often we can't. But church, that's the whole problem. We can't relate or understand Jesus' pain because sin is so embedded in us that separation from God becomes bearable. Think about it. The loss of intimacy is okay. It's a mere good to have, but it's not a necessity. And I don't know about you, but that scares me a lot. Because if we are separated from God, we should be in so much pain. But we live our lives happily day after day as if it's a total non-issue. And that scares me because I know I'm like that. So the thing we need to ask ourselves then is this. Is intimacy with God, is being with God important in our lives? Does it worry us? Does it stress us? Does it pain us? Are we really okay to live the bulk of our lives without him? And I've called my second point, the price of intimacy. Sorry, before that. The price of intimacy, the great sacrifice. But we read further the result of Jesus' sacrifice in verse 50 to 51. And I read it for you. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Church, this tearing of the temple is critical to understand. Because this curtain separated the holy place in the temple from the Holy of Holies. And it is in this Holy of Holies that God's Spirit resided. And no one could enter this Holy of Holies except for one man, who is the great high priest, who would enter once a year to offer the sin offering to God. And this curtain symbolized the separation of sinful man from a holy God. Yet when Jesus died, this curtain was separated and totally from top to bottom. Matthew even cares to emphasize from top to bottom as if to really show us this separation is totally gone. We have access to God again. If you go back to Romans chapter 5, we read about this in verses 15 to 17. Next slide, please. And it's quite a chunk full, but I want us to read carefully here to really try and see what Paul is trying to drive at. Okay? So we're going to read this together again because it's important. So, on the count of three, okay? One, two, three. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespassers and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Church, what word does Paul keep on repeating here in these few verses? What word does Paul keep on repeating here in his few verses? Come on. What word? Gift. How many times? Five times. Okay? Five times in three verses. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of repetition. I.e., it's pretty important. But let's read verse 15 again carefully. It says, "For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift overflow to the many? How much more?" And Paul repeats this again in verse 17. How much more? I want to propose to us, church, that our God is the God of the how much more. You see, when we were dead to sin, and in light of our death to sin, when we were at a minus 100, God brought us through the gift and through His grace up to a plus 100. From nothing to something, from a failure to a success. Church, what this means is that we cannot truly understand the gift until we know the price. Let me repeat myself because this is important. What this means is that we cannot truly understand the gift until we know the price. How many of us know Romans 6:23? It says that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Fantastic, wonderful. But that's not all there is to Romans 6:23. Because just before that, it says that the wages of sin is death. If we don't grasp and accept that we were originally meant for death, we cannot appreciate the gift of God. Romans 6:23b needs Romans 6:23a. If not, it is meaningless. The problem, church, is often we hear about the gift without hearing about the great price to buy that gift. And in doing so, we cheapen grace. We cheapen the gift. But some of you may be thinking now, if the gift is eternal life, what does this have to do with intimacy with God? John 17 verse 3 says that this is eternal life, that they may know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. The Greek word for know here is called ginosko. Ginosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O. And it is the same Greek word that is used in Luke chapter 1 verse 34 when the angel Gabriel comes and tells Mary that she is going to have baby Jesus in her tummy. Next slide. So, Mary replies the angel Gabriel. And Mary replies the angel Gabriel by saying these words, "How will this be, since I do not know a man?" Same word, no. I want you to think carefully about this. What no is Mary referring to here? In modern day context, I would think that Mary was being cheeky. Couples don't have a baby by just knowing each other through head knowledge. Same thing with God. Eternal life is about knowing God in a deep, relational, and intimate way. Not just about head intellectual knowledge. As cliche as it may sound, it's about a relationship. So yes, the gift of God is simply this. That the one who was without sin took ours that we may be with God again. And I've titled this point, "The Gift of Intimacy, the God of the How Much More." I've talked quite a bit already. But the loss of intimacy that started from the Garden of Eden and carried through our sin. I've talked about the price of intimacy and Jesus' great sacrifice on the cross and how He felt separation from God for the first time. And we just talked about the gift of intimacy and how we have access to God again, the God of the how much more. What then is our response? I can think of three. Firstly, humility. If we understand the loss, price, and gift of intimacy, we will know that we need the gospel daily. The good news is not only for those who do not know Jesus. The good news is for here, for us today, and we need it. Whether you've been a Christian for 18 days, 18 weeks, 18 months, 18 years, I don't care. All of us, me included, need Jesus, need the gospel. Why? Because we are so dead in our sin. And that should shatter every fiber of pride in our being. That should shatter every aspect of self-praise and self-glory. Church, the world elevates strength. It elevates the make it if you try hard enough, dreams come true attitude. I'm not saying that hard work, drive, determination is wrong. But guess what? No matter how hard you work, No matter how much drive you have, you will never earn your way to intimacy with God. Never. It is a gift. Personally, I've seen God come and humble me many times. And I look at my own weakness and sin. This week has been particularly trying for me as I grapple with failures and difficulties at work and with different people around me. Church, many of you here are very successful by the world standards. I see leaders here, both current and future. There are many brilliant people and students. Many of you are very talented sportsmen. And that's all great, because these are God's gifts that He has given to you. But guess what? You are still dead to sin and sentenced to death without Jesus. And it's better that we know this now. Humility. If you know that you have elevated yourself or lived areas of your life without need for God, would you humble yourself before Him today? That's the first point, humility. The second point is gratitude. If we know the weight of the price to allow the gift, we cannot help but be grateful. To be grateful to a God who has given all to us for love. And yet we complain all the time to our friends, to our family, to God. We complain when we miss our bus. We complain when our exams are coming. When our beef is overcooked. Okay, that's me. When the day has gone really, really bad. Church, I'm not saying that there isn't room for honest disappointment. There is. But guess what? If we can truly understand the weight of the gift of God, all these things will become smaller. I went to Army Reservist sometime in January this year. And one of the things I committed to do was to be thankful in Army. Because I don't know about you guys, but for me, whenever I enter Army, it's like I become a different person. It's like I enter into this whole new world of negativity. Like everyone complains and everyone just wants to get out of there. And if I were to be honest with myself, a lot of times, that's the same for me. But I told myself, no, this year, I want to have a grateful and thankful heart. Not to my circumstances, but because I have a great God who has loved me. And guess what? It's like God knew. Because this reservist, compared to many others, I receive more arrows than any other reservist. I receive many, many, in a way, excuses to grumble. But as the sadness set in, I constantly reminded myself that my God is bigger than my circumstance. And that I have so much to be thankful for. So church, look at the bigger picture. God is good. He had planned intimacy all along and invites us into His story. Sometimes we think we know the Lord long enough that we forget how amazing His story is. Especially for many of us who grew up in church. But when we are grateful, grace tastes sweeter. Lastly, after we are humbled, and after we have a response of gratitude, what is our ultimate right response? To yearn for intimacy. To yearn to be with God. Why? It was such a great loss that Jesus paid a great price because we had a great need. Let me repeat that. It was such a great loss that Jesus paid a great price because we had a great need. We need intimacy with God because that's what we were created for. It's hardwired into us. If sin is skin deep, intimacy cuts right to the bone. But the question then is, are we seeing this as our greatest need? Or are we seeing the world and its many pleasures and desires as more attractive? Many of you know who Billy Graham is. He passed away last month. And he preached to the thousands and the millions. He was adored by so many. Yet there's this one quote that he has that really speaks to me. And it says this: "My home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world." Church, this world is not our home. But we will arrive at it one day. Worship team, you may come up. Church, we've heard a lot today. But if you remember what I said right at the beginning of my sermon, I said this: sometimes the most important things need to be said not because we are unaware, but because we are inactive. So let's be an active church today. My challenge to you is this. Firstly, understand the story. Shall we close our eyes? Take a moment to go back in your mind about what I shared. Number one, the loss of intimacy, the great rebellion in the garden. Two, the price of intimacy, the great sacrifice at the cross. Three, the gift of intimacy, the God of the how much more. And four, the need for intimacy, man yearning for eternity. In other words, God paid such a high price to draw near to us that we may draw near to Him. Second, after you understand the story, would we be an active church and respond? In humility, in gratitude, and in yearning. Let God speak to you. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And if this story is as powerful as it is, if it is as powerful as it's meant to be, not because of me, the storyteller, but because of God, the author, I'm trusting that the author will speak to you today. And for those of you who may struggle to know how to respond, I leave you with a few parting questions before AJ leads us in a song. First question, have you ever understood and believed the story as it has been told today? Or have you missed parts of it out? Maybe you've been focused so much on the gift of intimacy that you forgot about the price, the huge price that had to be paid. Maybe you focus so much on the loss of intimacy, the sin that so afflicts you, that you forgot that Jesus came to die for your sin. Or maybe you know about the loss, you know about the price, you know about the gift, but guess what? You've never felt the personal need in your own life to yearn for intimacy. So that's the first part. Understand the story in its completeness. Number two, is there any area in your life that you would like to humble yourself in because you know that pride or self-glory has crept in? Number three, how thankful are you in your daily life? Not because of circumstances, because some circumstances plainly suck, but because of God and His gift to us. And lastly, number four, are you cultivating a habit of yearning for Him daily through the small things like spending time with Him and reading His Word? Shall we all rise? And as AJ leads us in a song, there's going to be no altar call. But that doesn't mean that we are inactive. Because you don't need an altar call to be active in responding to God. Wherever you are at your seats right now, as you worship God through song, would you also speak to Him and respond in your own way?
Tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.